are with us online today, you're with us here in spirit, and we appreciate that very much. You know, with all the stuff going on about coronavirus, and that's just practically all we hear about and all anybody's talking about, I thought we need to focus on some things about that, okay? And so the message this morning is, in case you don't recognize that symbol up there, God is greater than coronavirus. Amen. All right? And our focus, our text this morning, which was read for us by Keith, we began Isaiah 40, 28 through 31. We're going to look at what Isaiah has to say just before that, as well as that passage. But we need to understand in these times that we face that indeed God is greater than the coronavirus. As bad as it is and as bad as everybody's talking about it, our God is greater than coronavirus, okay? So, if I turn that on, it'll work better, I think. Okay, so let's start out here. Basically, what is coronavirus, all right? Or COVID-19, all right? I understand that's the actual name of the virus, okay? Whereas a few months ago, most of us had never heard of it before. I mean, it's just all of a sudden, here it is, and now that's all anybody is talking about. And it is literally affecting every aspect of our society. All right? I don't think there's any part of our world that is not already being affected by this virus. Okay? It's kind of almost like, you know, some kind of invaders have just swept across the world. All right? And it is infecting the world. Okay? COVID-19, a respiratory disease, respiratory illness, or virus, all right, caused by this virus called coronavirus. That's the best definition as I understand it, okay? There are some symptoms, all right? High temperatures, a runny nose, a cough, sore throat, those kinds of things. If you get any of those things, be careful, stay away from everybody, and see your doctor, get tested, whatever. Those are the symptoms of this thing. There are some terms that are new. I've never heard of social distancing before. You know, but that's the big thing. Everybody's got to keep your social distance from everybody else. Of course, we've always been told to wash our hands and clean surfaces. And by the way, we do have, you know, the sanitizer, hand sanitizer here in the building. Just encourage you, practice social distancing, wash your hands and clean surfaces and so forth, just to try to help minimize the spread of this virus, okay? Those are the kinds of things that we are being told to do. This is, because of the nature of it, it is a pandemic. All right, you say, well, what is a pandemic? A pandemic is a disease epidemic that has spread across a large region, multiple continents, or even worldwide. And this virus is indeed a worldwide pandemic. Up until just middle of last week, I don't remember what day it was, every state in the country except West Virginia, I guess the virus had a little bit difficulty getting over the mountains. I'm not really sure. But finally, West Virginia had its first case, so it is everywhere across the country, and it is affecting most countries throughout the world. Okay, so it is indeed a worldwide pandemic. And here's one of the things that we're seeing happening. When people hear the word pandemic, they panic. Okay, people panic. And that's the result of that is what you see when you go to try to buy some toilet paper. Okay, you can't find any in the stores because people are panicking and buying up all kinds of stuff and hoarding it and all of those kinds of things. When people start to panic, Okay? These kinds of things bring out the best and the worst in people. They really do. We've seen some things, you know, people getting into fights at stores over toilet paper, you know, and other things and so forth, and people just behaving in that kind of a way. But at the same time, we've seen a lot of good things happening by people and taking care of one another. So a pandemic and a panic, it can do that. It'll bring out the best and the worst. And here's one of the things I want you to remember. As Christians, it should be bringing out the best in us. Even while the world is at its worst, yeah, we need to make sure that we are at our best. If we can't be Christians in the worst of times, then I suggest to you that our Christianity is worthless. If we can only be what God wants us to be when everything is going great in the world, then our Christianity has no value whatsoever. You say, we need to be at our best and our best when even when the world is panicking and having all kinds of struggles. So let's talk about what is going on in the midst of this pandemic that we're talking about, this coronavirus. What is happening? Here's some questions we want to focus on. First of all, what are we facing? Okay. Secondly, what is God doing? Okay. Where is God and what's he doing in the midst of the coronavirus? It's got the world, you know, all tipped upside down. And then thirdly, what should we be doing as God's people? And that's what I want to focus on this morning. Let me talk for just a minute about our plans. Some of them I went over as we began this morning, our announcements, but here's just kind of a review. First of all of our scheduled activities here at the church, except for worship at this time, are canceled until further notice. All right? Now, there's been a lot of talk, rumors, and speculation and everything about, you know, the governor anytime now is going to announce a complete shutdown. If that happens, then we'll have to make adjustments even to our worship. But if that happens, we'll let folks know and we'll adjust. But for right now, we are going to continue having worship service just like we're doing today. But everything else is canceled. All Bible classes and Bible studies that we have going on, even the Ladies' Day, our Sunday evening fellowships, we're not going to get to have taco night tonight, okay? All of those activities are canceled. Now, phone calls, notes of encouragement, prayers, etc., are all expected to continue, all right? We need to continue to encourage and uplift one another. Also, along with this, and as I talked with everybody, you know, most everybody I was able to get hold of yesterday, as of this point, nobody needs anything in terms of food delivered or anything of that nature, medicines picked up and so forth. But I have let everybody know that if somebody needs something like that, if they need, you know, somebody to go to the store for them, that we'll get folks together to accomplish those things. Because we want to make sure that we're taking care of one another, okay? Worship will be live streamed at our regular time. We're not changing the time of it or anything like that. That just creates a lot of confusion if we do that. Members are welcome to attend these services only if you're healthy, okay? If you think you might have come in contact with someone that has coronavirus, please don't come. Worship with us online doing the live streaming. Those who are in the more vulnerable category, those 65 and older, those who have pre-existing health conditions and so forth, we really would like for you to stay home and be safe. All right? We don't want somebody getting out and being exposed unnecessarily. And I'm saying that because I know that some people's tendency is, if we're having worship service, I need to be at the building. And they feel guilty if they're not. I'm telling you, don't feel guilty about that. All right? If you shouldn't be here, then don't be here. Worship online so you can be healthy and the rest of us can be healthy also. All right? So stay at home and worship with us that way. Okay? We will have, as I mentioned earlier, we're supposed to get another shipment in this week from a different supplier. For the communion cups, and we'll have those, and I'll let everybody know when we get those, so even those at home can come and pick some of those up, or we will, if need be, we will take those to those folks that are homebound, all right? Okay, our contributions, as Dale mentioned a moment ago, we still have, even though we're not doing all the things we're doing, we still have bills to pay, and so we still need contributions. Another part of this that I want everybody to keep in mind is that as this thing continues going on, there's a possibility that we may have some folks who are not able to work because their job doesn't exist anymore. And so they don't have an income, and we as a church might need to be helping taking care of those folks even more. So, you know, we need to be able to have that those contributions as much as possible so that we can provide for the needs of those that have those needs. And we can't do that if people think, sometimes we'll say, well, I'm not at the building, I don't have to make a contribution, I didn't attend, I don't have to pay an admittance fee. That's not what it is, okay? You know, we need to make that contribution, and we do that. We've got a couple of different ways you can do that. If you're here, of course, you can put it in a basket there. We have set up a PayPal payment plan. You can, if you have a PayPal account, or you can go online and set one up, it's really easy to do. And you can make an electronic payment that will go directly to the church's account, and it will give us the information so that we know who it is, so you'll still get credit for that, tax credit or what have you, for that. But you can do that electronically. If you need some help doing that, just let me know, and we can walk you through that. Of course, we still have snail mail. That does still exist, okay? And so if you don't do the electronic stuff, then you can just put it in the mail, put your check in the mail and send it to us, and we'll put that in there. But again, we just want to emphasize that we still need those contributions. All right, let's talk about, first of all, a history of pandemic. Okay, there is a long, long history of pandemics, all right? But here's one of the things we've got to keep in mind. The Bible tells us there is nothing new under the sun, so pandemics are not new, all right? The wise man in Ecclesiastes 1, verses 9 through 10 says, what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already long ago. It was here before our time. Now, we can say, well, coronavirus is new. Well, yeah, the type, but the fact that it's a virus and it's, you know, causing all kinds of health issues, that's certainly not new. In fact, if you go back through history, you can see that pandemics have been occurring for several thousand years. The furthest back I could find a record is the Plague of Athens. Okay? And in that plague, and this was back from 430 to 426 B.C., okay, during the Peloponnesian Wars, typhoid fever killed a quarter of the Athenian army and a quarter of the regular population, all right? So we're talking about 430 to 426 B.C., want to get a little bit closer to our time? How about 165 AD, the Antonian Plague? All right, that plague killed as much as a third of the Roman population. Okay, now, the Roman Empire, that was the world at the time. And one third of the people died from that plague. It was perhaps either smallpox or the measles is what they think from that. Look at the last line on there, number 5. Total death in Rome were estimated at 5 million people. There is nothing new under the sun. The plague of Justinian, 541 to 542 AD, bubonic plague that killed approximately 25 million people. All right, the Black Death, 1346 to 1353, bubonic plague again. 75 upward to, some of the estimates that I read on this was upwards to 2 million, 75 to 200 million people died from that plague. The Spanish flu. All right, notice this. It's the deadliest known outbreak in history. All right, 1918, 50 to 100 million people died from that pandemic. All right? The Asian flu, 1956 to 1958, that, you know, that wasn't a whole long time ago, all right? 2 million people in that pandemic. And if you think about it, and you go back and you look through history, here's the thinking that a lot of people have through each one of those. And the ones that I mentioned here are just a few of them. There's a whole lot more that are recorded in history, okay? But people in the midst of those things thought the end of the world was at hand. They were so devastating, they were so bad. And we've got people today in the midst of the coronavirus that are saying the same thing. God is bringing his judgment. This is a sign that it's the end times and the world is coming to an end. Okay. Well, we've had pandemics happening throughout history, at least since way back and, you know, before Christ ever came, and the world is still going on today, isn't it? There is nothing new under the sun. What has been will be again. All right? The coronavirus, right? This is the latest update as of about 9:45 this morning. Worldwide cases have surpassed 308,000. 13,071 people have died thus far. This is worldwide from this virus. One of the most encouraging numbers that I see on here is the bottom number, 95,000. That's almost a third of the people that have gotten it have recovered from it already. Okay? God is good, isn't he? You see? So part of my message here is let's not panic. Let's keep things in perspective. All right, and let's remember who is in charge. God truly is greater than all of the pandemics that have occurred throughout history. All right, and he is greater than coronavirus. We have to remember that God, no matter what goes on, God is still in control of the world. Okay? And we have people that are asking, well, why doesn't God just stop this thing? Well, why didn't he stop the Black Death and the Asian flu and the Spanish flu? Why? Because God set things in motion in the world. And one day he will end all of the pain and suffering, as we've talked about before, but it will be in his time. You see? We go back to Genesis chapter 18, and I want to share several passages with us to help us to remember that God's got this, okay? God's got this. He's in control of it all. All right? When the Lord came to Abraham and promised him that he was going to have a son, and Abraham, you know, Sarah laughed, and they were kind of like, is this really going to happen? He said, is anything too hard for the Lord? That includes coronavirus. Okay? Is that too difficult for the Lord to handle? Certainly not. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 3. O Lord God, you have only begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do such works and mighty acts as yours? Is there any other God who can do what our God can do? And the answer to that is no. God is in control. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Now, if everything in heaven and earth is God's, how much does that leave out? Nothing. Nothing left. You see? Everything is his. Okay? You are exalted as head over all. The Lord, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world, and look at this part, those who dwell therein. Who's that referring to? Usins? Weans? You and me? You say? We belong to him, along with the whole world. He really, truly does have the whole world where? In his hands. What do we have to worry about? You say? For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. And the mountain peaks belong to him, and the sea is his, for he made it. And his hands form the dry land. It all belongs to him. It all comes from him. Isaiah chapter 40, this is the part before what Keith read for us that I want us to focus on. Look at what he says through the prophet Isaiah. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown. No sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither and the whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me, God says? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all of these? He who brings out the starry host, one by one, and calls forth each one of them, and I like this part, by name. By name he calls them. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. What an awesome God we have. See? He's got this. He really, really does. And then the text that Keith read for us. Okay? Pay attention to the very last part, because this is the part that I think where people are missing it. Right? We get impatient, we panic, we start worrying about all kinds of things. And what does he say here? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God will sustain his people. He will give us what we need. Now, does that mean that God's going to heal everybody that gets coronavirus? Well, obviously, no. Some have already died. Some more will die. But they will not perish without God allowing them to. Okay? In other words, this virus cannot overwhelm God. It cannot take someone that God does not want taken and not allow them to be taken, like anything else in the world. We need to remember who the God is that we serve really, really, truly is. Okay? We've got to learn to trust in him. You see, part of the reason that so many people are worried and panicking and everything else is because they're worried that they can't take care of themselves. They're trusting in themselves. They're trusting in their bank accounts. They're trusting in, do I have enough toilet paper? You know, all of those kinds of things that we're putting our trust in. And those are the wrong things, okay? Isaiah, trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. That's where we've got to be placing our trust. All right? Jeremiah. He says to Jeremiah, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me?" Is coronavirus too difficult for God? The answer to that is no. It is not. Here's something that you need to keep in mind. The world may panic, but God is not panicking. Okay? There are a couple of things that you would never hear God say. All right, one of them is, "Gee, I didn't see that coming." Okay? God is never going to say that. Never has and never will. All right? He knows everything. He knew coronavirus was going to come, you know, before the creation of the world. The other thing that you will never hear God say is, "What am I going to do now?" Okay? God does not panic. He doesn't worry. He never gets caught off guard. When we put our trust in Him, then we won't be panicking either. We won't be worrying about what's going to happen next because we know that God's got this. You see? And that's what we've got to do. We've got to trust in Him through all of this. How long is it going to take? Everybody wants to know. How long before this is over? Who knows? The answer to that is nobody except God. Okay? He knows when it's going to be over. And when it is, we'll look back on this and we'll go, "Hey, God got us through that," just like He has everything else throughout history. So, what should we do? Okay? What should we as God's people do in the midst of this crisis, if you will? Well, the first thing I want to suggest to you is we need to behave ourselves. Okay? We need to behave ourselves as God's children. We need to remember whose we are. Okay? When the world is misbehaving, I read an article this morning, some guy, and I don't remember the city right now, but somewhere, this fellow broke into a clinic and stole a bunch of test kits for the coronavirus. You know, people just doing all kinds of crazy things. Panicking, as I said, you know, people buying up stuff and hoarding it and all this kind of stuff. We need to make sure that as God's people, we behave ourselves. All right? We need to do this. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. All right? Isn't that what we have right now? We need to be patient in that affliction, and we need to be faithful in prayer. The Apostle Paul tells us. Here's another important aspect of behaving ourselves. Peter writes, "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners." Some translations use the word aliens, okay? "To keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls." And again, we're seeing that kind of thing happening with people panicking and worrying and so forth about where they're going to have enough stuff. You go into the grocery store, there are shelves, not just the toilet paper shelves, but, you know, I went in the other day, there's no eggs in the store at all. Okay? The meat section is almost completely bare. People are just buying and buying and stocking up instead of sharing. He said, that's what the world will do because it wars against the world's souls. But what does he say? Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Again, some translations use the word pagans there. Okay? "Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when He judges the world." We need to behave ourselves. Okay? Be careful how we are reacting and responding to what's going on all around us. All right? Jesus tells us, "You are the salt of the earth." So we need to stay salty. Okay? And we are the light of the world, so we need to let that light shine. And we need to not be worried. Okay? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, and what shall we drink, and what shall we wear? Isn't that what's going on in the world right now? Everybody's worried about all those things. He's saying, don't be anxious in asking those questions. The Gentiles seek after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We need to quit worrying about these things and focus first and foremost on Jesus Christ. Keep our eyes fixed on Him. Okay? Now, with all of these things, and hopefully I've been able to bring some encouragement to everybody in the midst of what is going on. If I did that, I accomplished my mission this morning. I don't want people to be panicking. I don't want you worrying. I want you to trust in God. Okay? So, thinking about all those things. Chuck, you got a song that we're going to use for an invitation, right? So, we're offering an invitation for anybody to be able to let us know what we might be able to do for you, for those who maybe are separated from Christ because you haven't given your life to Christ yet, you can be saved today. All right? I think everybody that's here this morning is saved, but there may be some folks that are listening to us online right now that are not. If that's your desire, are you ready to give your life to Christ and to be saved, you can call this phone number on here. This is Dale's phone number. You can text him if you have a response to the invitation. We're kind of, you know, improvising here because we may have somebody that's watching us online that would like some prayer, have a prayer request. So right now, you can text Dale right now and give him a prayer request, and he will honor that prayer request. The phone number for those, if you can't read it there online, it is 804-502-9808. And you can text Dale right now, and he will respond to your text and your prayer request that you have. And anybody that is here this morning physically with us, if you have a prayer request or a need that we can help you with, all you got to do is come up and let me know that. All right? Again, we'll do our air hugs and so forth, but we will share your request and we will lift you up before the Lord. Chuck, stand up. Let's lead us. Let's stand together in prayer here.
Hey, text me. Please text me your name.
Text Chuck. Text your name to Dale.